and welcome to a true romance mini episode. Today, we are discussing the TLC hit show, 90 Day Fiancé, and its Sunday night finale, E with an accent, Amélie in Paris. Emily in Paris should be on 90 Day.
She could be on 90 Day Fiancé if she's a sex tourist, yes. Is that what the show's about? I haven't seen. Is it about sex tourism?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I wish. That would be something that could possibly move me to watch it. So for any of you out there who think, what is that show? I was once you. I once lived happily ever after, not knowing about this world. Where, I mean, sorry, Devin, how do most couples on 90 Day meet?
Okay, so first of all, when Carolina says, I was once you, I think she means until today, right?
I've seen two episodes of 90 Day Fiancé, maybe three, and one of the three being the episode I watched today, which was the Sunday night finale.
I have been watching for many years and many seasons and many spinoffs. So I think most people on 90 Day Fiancé meet their fiancés on
online, right?
Dating websites. And it's always like, you know, meet insert country women. So like meet Thai women, meet Filipino women, meet Ukrainiansingles.com, stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe every once in a while, there'll be like people who met randomly on a beach or randomly at a resort or just on vacation somehow. But for the most part, it's apps or like people will message each other randomly on Facebook, I guess.
And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn when I say that the trend tends to be attractive foreigners, medium to lowbrow Americans.
Medium to most bottom of the barrel people alive.
Medium to, I believe it's Andrew in this series who has a greasy ponytail.
No, okay, wait, sorry, go
You're
ahead.
You're like,
ahead,
no, I think he's hot.
No, I was confused. I thought you said like Andrew is medium and I was going to say like, no, he's one of the most disgusting people I've ever witnessed. Not because of just looks and the fact that he wears only black short-sleeved button-ups, but because his personality is so terrible and he's so garbage and he literally made his fiance travel all over the world to like try to come to the U.S. to see him and he didn't give a fuck about
her. I know,
I
really sympathize with her. And I also want to say that the real villain on this show seems to be the family members. Like Andrew's sister and mom are maybe the same person and they're like, she had an anxiety attack. That's why she couldn't come and be here with you. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
To be fair, the Andrew and I'm completely blanking on his fiance's name. Basically, what you should know, Carolina, is that every season there's a couple that doesn't end up actually getting to be together in person, like, or not till the very end. They always have a drawn out storyline where someone is like waiting in a hotel and someone is like stranded in a country and they can't get to their partner. To me, those are always like, I don't really care about like how you're struggling to get in contact with someone. Like, I don't know. They'll just have long series of shots of like a man from Florida in a hotel in Mexico trying to call his quote girlfriend and her not answering and him just like wiring her $7,000 for no reason. So this season, I guess that was Andrew and his fiance. And the whole thing was that because of COVID, she couldn't get to anywhere to see him. So he kept like booking trips for her to quarantine in different countries so that she could come into the US. It was weird. But it was really unclear what did happen, to be fair. I mean, we all understood why she wouldn't want to come because he made her go to these countries to quarantine. He didn't try to go be with her and all this stuff. But it was kind of sudden that she just like said that they got in a fight about having kids and she wasn't going to go anymore. My thought is that she had like had enough in general and she was like, why did this person make me fly to Serbia and stay in a hotel with no food in it so that I could go be with them instead of them coming here after she was arrested in a Mexican detention center. So I think she had just had enough. And so I kind of do think the anxiety attack was an excuse, but it's the same thing as like when you say, I don't want to be in a relationship when you break up with someone and you really do, you just don't want to be with them, but you're making an excuse. Like, I totally understand why she said that, because he is so garbage and he's literally teeing up his mom. He's like, wait, so mom, you don't think she's legit? Like, say your piece. He's trying to get them to talk shit. Yeah, he's like, so you think I should be mad and I was deeply
wrong? That's my new MO, by the way. I'm like, Devin, you think that people take advantage of me, don't you? You think I'm too good and too nice to people. I remember once in high school, I heard a girl telling her friend, she was like, you are too good to people, girlfriend. Like, you are too nice to people. And her friend was like, no, I'm not. No, it's not true. And then another girl, Chelsea, who was stoned in the photo room, went, you guys are so funny. Okay, we have to talk about the real star couple. Well, I think there's two, but one of them is Stephanie and Harris. Stephanie is, I want to describe her as Cruella de Vil. You know how villains usually have a co-conspirator, or like Gaston's friend? Like there's usually some little person they confess their plans to, and that would be Stephanie's cat.
Stephanie has many cats. So Stephanie's lead into the series, she was introduced like halfway or a few episodes in. And the opening shot of her was her hula hooping with some sort of UV light glasses on and talking about how she wants to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for hula hooping. And then walking around and talking to her cats about how she's going on a date, meaning she's FaceTiming her boyfriend at the time, who was Ryan. But also my favorite Stephanie moment. I think Stephanie is horrible and probably a member of QAnon, but she was entertaining. I'll give her that. And Sally Howe did point out to me that she is high on benzos 100% of the time in the show. Like, that's clearly what's going on. But one of my favorite moments was when she admitted that she was talking about how Ryan had a job at a resort so he could make his own money. And she was like trying to justify it to her friends. Like, well, he has a job. Like, it's not like I just send him money all the time. And then she admits to the camera that she actually called the resort where he works and said, will you please hire this person? And you don't even have to pay them. I'll wire you money to pay him. So basically, she was paying him under the guise of he had a job at a resort. She said it was so he could have better self-esteem. So she's very codependently involved with these men in Belize.
We are going to send her the book Attached. Stephanie, yes, also in the finale, burns Ryan's K-1 visa application, yep, in the woods. She actively tries, Smokey the Bear shit himself. She's actively trying to start a forest fire. She drops a burning visa application on the forest floor, which is all dry leaves. This made me insane.
And she's high on benzos.
I mean, it makes sense. I wish someone stepped in. I'm sure the camera crew was freaking out.
Yeah, I'm sure they like stomped when she went inside in her little glitter leggings. I'm sure they like stomped out the fire. And
she
then
is
her.
Now marrying, though, her new boyfriend, Harris, who
Ryan's cousin,
who is so obviously openly doing this to make a better life for his kids and the mother of his kids, who he's lived with, aka been with, for 14 years. That was the hardest part of the show to watch for me, because it was just, he was like, of course I want to move to America. Of course I have to do this. Like, I'm making this deal with the devil, basically, just to give my kids a better life. And they have this beautiful footage of his kids playing in the ocean. And meanwhile, back in like the haunted mansion with her talking to her cats, saying like, you gonna have a new daddy? Stephanie puts up a printed picture of him posing on a bed on her fridge, just throws it up there, and is checking in with his baby, Harris's baby mama, just to be like, I just want to make sure, I need to talk to you face to face. Wow, she really is on benzos.
She's like, Harris said that he and his baby mama was not in love, but Ryan, sorry, Harris,
not great said, calling him, like, by okay, his your ex, his cousin's name.
She kind of seems like semi-aware. First of all, I'm totally fine with him like lying to her and using her as a way to get to the United States, because she is garbage trash, not a good person at all, and I just don't feel for her. So it's,
I feel
totally
for him,
because
I'm like, it's not going to be easy to be around that human being. You deserve every penny.
But I do think like part of her is aware of it, and she's like, that's okay. Like, she did give him money all the time, and I think she knows it's an arrangement, and she kind of treated Ryan and Harris both like it was an arrangement in like a disturbing way, where she was like, okay, like you have to have sex with me because, you know, stuff like that. So I think she's like aware that that's the arrangement, which is dark. I don't know. I think that for some reason, like, I know that things like this are really disturbing. I don't know why a part of my brain is able to disassociate from how disturbing it is and just watch it for the entertainment value, but something is wrong with me, so I somehow have this mental thing that does that, and
you're
I'm able to watch it.
Yeah, I do think it's fascinating. I mean, we can also look at Mike and Natalie. Another head scratcher. Mike should be so fucking lucky. Natalie seems like the kind of person, gosh, where to start?
Mike, like, I'm just like, he is nothing. Like, he doesn't matter. He's just like a blob white guy who's like so boring and basic. And like, the truth is, yeah, he should be so fucking lucky, even though Natalie is truly one of the most bizarre individuals I've ever witnessed do anything.
I can't say that she's bad or anything. I can just say she is out to lunch and has the personality of those airbrushed art pieces you can buy at the beach or in Vegas. They're like, the way she put on makeup is intense.
When she said, I know, the woman, like Mike's trailer park neighbor or whatever, was like, you look beautiful. And she goes, I know. And I was like, okay.
The best is when right after they get married, she's like, and now do I get present? No.
So their whole thing was like, he came to Ukraine and they like wouldn't stop fighting because he's just like, it's not that only that he's boring and nothing. It's like he could be boring and nothing and still like dote on her. But it's like he's boring and nothing and he is like a little brat baby. Like he like has to argue
and
with her all
like,
the time.
And she's like, so you want to get married? You really will marry me this time. And he shrugs. He's like, okay. And I'm like, you're not even, listen, he's not even like fully into her. He doesn't even seem like a passionate person.
Well, they had just broken up, so he broke up with her and said he wasn't going to marry her, and then this crazy dramatic sequence that they spread out over like 3 episodes where it was like he had kicked her out and she had to go back to Ukraine, but she couldn't get into Ukraine because of COVID. By the way, they're all like, oh, because of COVID this. None of them wears a mask. None of them takes any single precaution. They all get married anyway, but they're like, well, it's COVID, so I can't go back to my country. So she couldn't go back to Ukraine. They go to a hotel. First of all, she's saying goodbye to Uncle Bo, that like raggedy half alive man that was at the wedding and who was like, oh, I didn't think they were gonna make it. That is Uncle Bo. And she was saying goodbye to him and he was like, she was crying and being like, Michael, leave, make me leave and I have to say goodbye. And then he was saying goodbye to her and he said, I hope like we can see each other again. And she said, I love you. No, I'm sorry. I can never talk to you again. And I was like, wait, I need this kind of boundaries in my life. Like there are people who you say goodbye to and they're like, I hope we stay in touch. And in your head, you're like, I will never talk to you again. But you don't say that. She just said it. She was like, I love you, but no, I will never be able to talk to you again. And now they're at the wedding together. And it's like so awkward.
I love you. No, I'm never speaking to you again.
I never. So
that was another
great
thing about Mike. And it just spoke to like how mediocre men have such a high opinion of themselves that he was like,
yes,
maybe I'll marry Natalie. I was like, Mike, we know you're going to marry Natalie.
Come on,
we know that's
Mike.
What's going to happen, actually.
Mike, imagine a world in which you can ever, possibly, ever even look at a woman that attractive. You can't imagine it? Then just please accept the weird. The chips have fallen. Basically, what I would say to Mike if he was my friend is like, the chips have fallen in a very bizarre, unthinkable way, and there's no world in which this should have happened. Just keep quiet and go with the flow. And instead, he had to be like, no, I want to go fishing. No, I don't want to
carry
do that.
On, Mike.
Yeah, just keep calm and carry on. And the truth is that we all know from the weird 90 Day Fiancé Twitter world that they actually are
broken up
by now anyway. But
Devin's like, yeah, you got to follow the news.
I highly recommend Natalie's Instagram, where she does things such as do a Q&A where someone said, what's your favorite thing about yourself? And she said, my legs, with an insanely airbrushed picture of her. And then she also posted an insanely airbrushed picture of herself where she truly looks like an alien, like no other word to describe it. Her face is like a sphere that she has like blurred and airbrushed. And the caption is, this girl is on fire.
Ben Affleck, the nanny that Ben Affleck cheated on Jennifer Garner with, immediately just capitalized on the scandal and began posting like crazy pictures of herself. And one of them was her leaving a department store with shopping bags. And the caption was, this girl is on fire.
What?
This girl is on fire.
This seems like a specific type of person that I want to see all of their Instagrams. So I'm going to search This Girl is on Fire on Instagram and Twitter after this recording and just see what comes up.
The last couple that we have to cover. This couple really hurt to watch. It was Yara and Jovi. The thing that was painful was that Yara actually does seem like she loves Jovi.
I do agree.
Jovi,
yeah,
unfortunately, has the personality of a 12-year-old who's flipping his mom off with highlights and a puka shell necklace, even though he's from Ohio. I fucking hate this guy so much. Example, Yara, he's out of town for work. She's pregnant. She's fully pregnant. He comes back into town. She's gorgeous, by the way. He comes back into town. He keeps commenting. He's like, I walked in the door and Yara is huge. Like, I mean, she's pregnant. She looks amazing, but she is huge. I'm like, she's about to give birth. And she makes him a Ukrainian cake. Like the cutest thing. I would never do this, by the way, if I was pregnant. I would literally be in bed.
I am literally seething thinking about
this. He takes a bite. By the way, even if you don't like the dessert your pregnant wife made for you, from her country of origin, you say, oh my God, it's amazing. He was like, oh, it's really dry. I just feel like I just had a bite from a sandy desert. She's basically like, what is wrong with you?
He also got mad because his mom bought him a baby Bjorn thing, like a carrier for the baby. And he got mad that that wasn't really a gift for him. It was a gift for the baby and he wanted a gift for him.
He was like, okay, you didn't even get me a t-shirt? I was like, this fucking guy.
He's actual trash. I didn't know really anything about them when this season started. I liked her from the beginning because she's so blunt. Like when she got to New Orleans, she was like, I don't like it here. There's piss on the street.
But they
whatever.
Got married in Vegas and she was like, yay, I don't have to go back to New Orleans yet.
I know, she hated New Orleans. But I was like, oh, Jovi's fine. And then as the season progressed, I was like, this is the biggest piece of shit ever. And all his friends were like, we cannot believe Jovi's getting married.
He's going out drinking with his friends. He was like, Yara's texting me. When are you coming home? When are you coming home? Are you dying? Like, are you okay? And I was like, oh, buddy, I want to help Yara run away.
The other thing is, like, in general in life, like, when girls are, like, texting their boyfriend he won't come home from the bar, like, that is bad enough. But she doesn't know anyone. She doesn't have a single friend there. She moved there from her home country, and he is, like, just constantly leaving her completely by herself in this weird, like, Sims apartment.
Evil.
And
that
it's
is
just terrible.
Sims apartment.
So
my favorite part is when he comes home from the bar, and he pats her on the stomach. And because they're having a girl and he's like, how's my baby girl doing? And Yara's on her phone. She's like waiting for drunk daddy to come home.
I know. I love her. I also love, like, she was so sweet with his mom. His mom is really sweet. And it was like he tried to make it out like she was this bitch wife. And everyone else around him could see that she was actually really sweet. And his mom ends up, like, siding with her all the time. She's like, Jovi, you're being immature, piece of shit, idiot. And just, like, no. Even though in the beginning, he's, like, a total mama's boy and she's obsessed with him. So I loved, like, Yara and the mom's connection. The mom came to save her from COVID and, like, pick her up. And I love that. And I'm happy that Yara has a little baby because she clearly doesn't have any other companions.
I hope she makes more friends. I would be friends with her.
We should be her friend.
The codependent
we should reach out.
Part of my nature, like, I can't not be attached to people like this, even watching them, and I need to make sure they're okay. And that's a lot of what's behind my Instagram addiction is that there's these little people that just exist in the back of my head. Like, I know in a couple of months from now, I'm going to be like, How's Yara doing? Even watching this episode of 90 Day, I thought about the first episode of 90 Day I watched, and I was like, oh my God, how are Paola still together with her husband? Which she is, and they're adorable.
I know, it's hard to not get attached. It's like walking past the ASPCA bus at the Shaw's parking lot. It's like you have to not get attached.
Well, I think Jovi's dad, Monty, the apple tree situation, because Monty, first of all, has gray bangs. Second of all, he keeps on being like, all right, if you're going to do this, you don't seem like you want to do this. They get married and Monty's literal first words are, that's finally over. All right, they did it. That's finally done.
I think I've shared this before, maybe on the podcast, but this time that I went to a wedding where the father of the bride gave a speech about his daughter and said, like, all right, she's your problem now. Like, you're going to have to deal with the shopping bags everywhere. You're going to have to deal with this. Like, hope you have a credit card. I was like, this is actually abuse that I'm witnessing, and I don't really want to be here, like, eating cake while this happens.
Yeah, right. Devin was probably, like, on her second slice.
I know, by the way, I had three slices, but still. No, but that is why Jovi and his dad are my two most hated characters in reality television since Camille Grammer. And that's saying a lot because a lot have crossed my path
so
since
true.
Camille. It's hard to compare with saying that you support Brett Kavanaugh because you also have been attacked like him. But Jovi rivals that to me because he's literally just like, he takes her for granted. He's ruining her life. She moved her whole life across the world.
He doesn't even have empathy when she's to be in with pain him. In the hospital. Just, he looks like a child. Like, he looks like a 12-year-old in the sense that like a 12-year-old wouldn't know how to comfort like a pregnant woman in pain. But I actually think a 12-year-old would have been more, but he was just staring at her like, he was having more fun doing video testimonials in the hallway. He's like, hey guys, so Yara's still in a lot of pain. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? But she does give the best quote of the episode when he's walking away. She was like, Jovi's in tight pants and it's like, he has so good ass.
I didn't realize this man have so good ass. No. But after she gives birth, I was like getting emotional because she got so emotional about the baby being in the car. Like, the baby started crying and it made her start crying. And she was like, I'm so nervous. And she didn't want it. Just was like so sweet. And anyway, then Jovi is like, I don't think I could do what you just did. She's like, right? Basic human anatomy would direct that you can't do that? Like, what?
He's just so juvenile. I do love the Elvis weddings, by the way, though. My friend just eloped in Las Vegas, and she had an Elvis chaplain, and I just think that's such a good look.
It is cool, and
Jovi
didn't
absolutely
even
did not deserve it. And God, it's just so unattractive when people talk about jitters. Yeah, I'm just like, don't talk about that. I mean, I guess that's the whole premise of 90 Days, but still, he's like, ooh, getting jitters. I'm like, you should be so lucky.
I know. They all kind of did that. Like, you didn't even get to see this season. Brandon, who was like the most nightmare. Brandon was this guy who lives with his parents, even though he's like 30 something. And
okay,
his parents
well,
are like,
you know, some of us.
No. But let me finish, Carol. You didn't let me finish what I'm saying. You think you know what I'm talking about, but you have not seen this. Like, his parents treat him like he's 5 years old. It's like the most disturbing thing I've ever seen. They were upset because, so he lives on this farm with them. They have like all these cows and farm animals. They were upset because the woman who came to live with them, Julia, didn't want to like work on the farm, which I was like, okay, I totally get that. Like, she should help out and like do dishes and stuff. But
does
you can't
have to
expect
be farm.
Yeah, like you can't expect the average person to be like, sure, I'll milk cows. Like, I'll clean pig shit off the ground. They also had weird hybrid breeder dogs that they were like farming out of their like sunroom, and that was weird. But anyway, so they were devastated, the parents, because Julia wanted to get married on Mother's Day because it was the anniversary of the first time Brandon reached out to her, which obviously is so cute. But he was like, well, like, my mom doesn't want me to get married on Mother's Day, so I don't know. And the mom was like really upset. They got really freaked out about him like having sex. Like, they were like, we don't want him to be in the same room as her. Like, we don't want her to have him to have sex with her. So it just was like really disturbing and bizarre. The whole time everyone's like, okay, Julia is like stunningly gorgeous, amazing, like so funny and cute, and she why is she with this guy, Brandon, who's literally a child and listens to whatever his mom says. And then he got cold feet towards the end. Like, he was like, am I doing the right thing? No, Brandon. Go home to your mom and your pig shit. How about that? What are you going to find better at the pig farm than a Russian model? Like, I don't know.
So
think about it.
This one goes out to you, Brandon.
This one goes out to Uncle Bo. I'm sorry that Natalie was so
no,
harsh
No, I
with
love
you,
you, but I can Uncle never Bo. Speak to you again. I want to do a combination of Catfish and 90 Days, where I basically just get an account on Russian singles or Ukrainian brides or Polish hotties and then meet someone and get married.
And yeah. pretend that
and
you're
be like,
Ukrainian?
I have an American accent, but...
Yeah, just be like, yes, I've been all around the world and nationalism has completely changed. So TVs are nationalized. Like, I watched Laguna Beach growing up, even though I was in
I'll
Kiev.
Be like, thank
so.
You, Western imperialism. That's why I sound the way I do.
And then you should be like, oh, does this, like, when you go to Arby's or something, you should be like, oh, I've never been here before. Does this restaurant have sand cake? Oh, sorry, that's my favorite Ukrainian dessert. Sorry, I don't really know anything else. Next week will be, hopefully, even though TLC is shady about announcing what their episodes are going to be, hopefully next week will be The Couples Tell All, which we all know is the most fire thing. I just remembered Rebecca and Zied were on this season. I can't wait to see Rebecca and Zied at The Couples Tell All. Can't wait to see if they bring Ryan in or just Harris. Listen, I'm so excited and I will be there. I don't know if we'll
Let's
do a
do
bonus
it.
Up on it, but
Let's
I
do
would
it.
Obviously love to.
We'll talk to okay. you guys next week. Thank you for tuning in.